So the, or if you want to use a more long, latest language, the angst in your soul. Your soul has comes with its own inbuilt programming to express itself in a certain way. That's how it has to be. This evolves from life to life, because in Indian thought there is the concept of rebirth. So Swadharma is not something fixed for all lives, or even in one life sometimes the evolution may take place. There have been instances. So it's the natural inbuilt programming in your soul which seeks to express itself. But it's covered with all kinds of conditioning which comes from environment, birth, earn money, get a job, do this, do that. So Swadharma gets colored and clouded and covered. So it takes time to dig into it. To dig into it, you have to see what is your most natural, if I may use the, though it is deeper than temperament, but something like your temperament, your innate tendency, most innate tendency. Like there are people who are keen to learn and know. There are others who are like fighters. They will find a cause for justice and that's it. Then there are others who see life as a transaction. Everything is a transaction. And there are others who just love working with their hands. Now you understand what are these four types? Soul types. They are called as soul types. Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra. It's a soul type. It's your natural thing. It is not about big or small or high and low. And if you follow it, it opens a path for evolution. It is given to each person as a guiding light. And when you don't follow it, you follow an alien dharma. You may get money, you may be on a big post, but it will lead to perdition. That's how the Gita puts it. Swadharma nidhanam shreya pardharma bhayava. So if you really want to discover your own Swadharma, you need to look very impartially, quite impersonally into yourself and see what is it. And right from childhood you will see there are tendencies which are there in nature. Like there are children who from very beginning they want to just read, know, understand. That's their innate impulse. There are those who love to take everything as a play or a fight, or you know, as a game they must win. They are born leaders. So you have to see what is your Swadharma and then live by it. That is the whole idea. Swadharma. Dharma literally means way of being. Dharma is not religion, of course. Then there is Swabhava, mode of being. So they are connected with each other. Swabhava, Bhava. What is your basic mode of being? It determines your Swadharma. Dharma is the law of life.
Criminal thinks that crime is very natural to them.
That is nothing to do with Swabhava and Swadharma. That's a wrong interpretation. Swabhava se chore hai.
So, hame to pata hoga, lekin unko kaise hum?
Nahi, you're discussing in context of Swabhava and Swadharma.
Swadharma, yeah.
Criminal, that's a different thing. If the deviation has taken place so much and the, it's like, see, if the diamond has fallen in a ditch, but it's not very deep, this water is shallow, you can clearly get it. If it's gone deep inside, then it's not as easy as that you can tell him that this is your Swabhava and Swadharma. Though you can get into a kind of dialogue through which you can understand. There is a movie called Utsav. So there the thief is a perfectionist. So if you observe, there are movies like that where there is a thief who has got a strong, or a criminal who has a strong sense of justice. And he is caught and told, surely. Surely is about that. That, well, you have this brain, you have also the courage. Why don't you put it in a direction which is going to be wonderful? So that's where you can do it. But in Surely it was easy. But there are hardcore people in whom also, because the soul has to be somewhat awakened for Swadharma. In many people it just is spark. There is no Swadharma and Swabhava. It's like a little animal. You don't use the word Swabhava and Swadharma with an animal. So in many people, many human beings, soul is a very, very like a little spark buried in heaps of mud. I'll give an example. Like all of you are sitting here in this summer heat, coming all the way, leaving your comfort zone, wanting to understand and know these things. There are so many people all over the world, they won't care. Most human beings are still those who are attached only to the physical vital existence. Swadharma is still a far cry for. Some awakening, some touch of the soul. Then only Swadharma and Swabhava become operative. Most human beings, or many human beings, are not yet. So it depends on what you call as criminal. Like again, Valmiki had the possibility, or Angulimal had the possibility of being Anand, or Jagai and Madhai. But they are cases where basically Swadharma and Swabhava had taken a deviant turn. That's all. But there are places where it's completely covered, clouded. Then it becomes difficult. But you have to approach that. You have to observe his tendencies, go to its core. Question is, what are you seeking through all this? Why is he doing this? This is the dialogue between Sanat Kumar and Ratnakar, who becomes Valmiki. Why are you doing this? He says, to support my family. But then he says that, well, but is your family party to this that you are doing? He says, yes, why not? Then he asks, and he discovered they are not bothered about what happens to him. So the changeover takes place.
Is comparison good or bad?
Very bad, horrible, worst.
So
never be done. A rose is a rose and a grass is a grass. Tortoise and rabbit don't run a race, they are not meant for. If it is a race in the water, if it is a race where how long can you breathe below water, tortoise will win hands down. So they are not meant to run race on the same outer. This is a very wrong story. Aesop's fable. It is not true that slow and steady wins the race. You can't be a tortoise and win a race on the ground. But if you have the race in water, tortoise is any day victorious. So comparisons are contravene the way the divine has created this world. It's ekoham bahushyam. The one wants to become many. So while even two people who are, say, seekers after knowledge, their approach will be different and unique, and that's what makes this world so wonderful. Each one is unique and should be so. Discover in your own way. Comparisons are product of a society which is individualistic and competitive in the outer, and a society which values certain things and does not value other things, like color. So there are societies which value your complexion, so silly, or it values your degree or your wealth. This is a whole society is rotten. Then you compare. Otherwise, how can one compare? A stupid thing. Don't compare. Say, I cannot be compared and I cannot be sold. If anybody compares you, don't feel low. Say rather, I am not in the race of comparison. I am not a product for sale. Be unique. There is something good for you. When I was around 15, so I had written a small thing in my diary. So it's much later I discovered. If you want to be original, become divine. If you want to follow someone, follow God. Nobody else, nothing else. There are no comparisons.
Sir, I wanted to ask you.
In fact, they take away the joy of creation, very frankly. Joy of creation is in variety and multitude. Why should you compare?
Meaning of the two symbols, mother and father.
So what is a symbol? Symbol is a representation of a reality. Okay. Any symbol you know? I mean, we'll come to that. Any symbol you are aware of? Swastika. Mm-hmm. It's a symbol used in Indian thought. Mm-hmm. What is swastika a symbol of? Of course we call the word auspicious. Mm-hmm. But what is it a symbol of? What is it in swastika? You know how a swastika is formed? How? Is this a swastika?
Four dots. I-S-A.
What if you make it like this? So what is it? If you don't understand, it'll be like people make all kinds of swastik, no? Do you know this kind of a swastik with a little tilt was Hitler's sign? But this is the original swastik. So we'll cancel this. So what is this swastik? It is the forward movement of time. This swastik is reverse movement of time. It is inauspicious. It's like you are retrograding, aggression, going backward. This is simply a forward movement of time. Life is meant for moving forward, not going backward and what happened 100 years back, okay, happened, but now we have to go further, leaps of time. So swastik is considered auspicious. It's a symbol of time in its forward motion. Hitler had done this. See, kaise chakkar aa gayi na buddhi. Are ek hi to cheez hai lekin ek nahi hai. Aisa lag bhi raha hai na andar se ki nahi ek cheez nahi hai. So that's swastik. So symbol is, each symbol is meant to express something. There are plenty of symbols. Sometimes you have symbols like an image or a diagram. Sometimes you have in the animal form. Like Durga is sitting on lion. But Lord Ganesha is sitting on mouse. Why? What is mouse a symbol of? Why is he sitting on it? It represents something that he is capable of. What is Lord Ganesha's main work? He removes obstacles. Now, lion can, you know, daring. It's a leader in the jungle, hero, it can, you know, finish anybody. So Durga, goes with Durga. But if lion has to cross a mountain, what lion will do? It will climb or it has to pick up something from the ground. Lion cannot, but a mouse can. Ganesh is a remover of obstacles. Therefore, Ganesh has the symbol as, his vahana as a mouse. Mouse knows instinctively. They can smell things from afar. They can go down. They can go through the mountain. There is strange ability. Okay. Kartikeya's symbol is, or not symbol, vahan is?
Peacock.
What is unique about peacock? Very?
Yes.
It kills?
Snakes.
And who is Kartikeya? Deva Senapati, warrior god. Snakes as a symbol of the dark and hostile forces, wide underground, but come out time to time, and when they come out, Kartikeya is capable of doing. Garuda also. Garuda eats snakes. And Kartikeya also does the same thing. I mean, the peacock does the same thing. But otherwise it's beautiful. So that's where you see all the symbols. Again, Shri Krishna wearing a maur mukut, a peacock feather. It's a symbol of victory. Conch, again symbol of victory. So you have these things, this symbolic expression of deep truths. So here comes now mother's and Shurbindo symbol. So once you understand this basic, then so mother's symbol is center, there is one circle, right? Let me see, I don't think here, but Shurbindo symbol will be there. Anyways, you have seen the mother symbol. So there is a central circle. Central circle represents Aditi, the divine consciousness. Then you have the four petals. It's the lotus, or is the flower seen from above downwards. So the four patils are the four Mahashaktis of the mother: Maheshwari, Mahakali, Mahalakshmi, Mahasaraswati. Each of them, so Maheshwari is the power of knowledge, Mahakali is the power of strength which conquers everything, Mahalakshmi is the power of beauty and harmony and that Ananda which dwells in all things, Mahasaraswati is the power of divine perfection. In everything you will see them operative. Outside are 12 petals. So these are the 12 powers required to express them to their fullness. So that you have equality, peace, patience, perseverance, so all gratitude, all that is the 12 powers outside. This is the mother symbol. Yeah, I am wearing the mother symbol. Okay. Then you have the Shurabindo symbol. Shurabindo symbol you can see, no?
So
there are two triangles. Equilateral triangles, okay? Ascending triangle is the human aspiration. Human beings aspire through light, life, love. They aspire toward the divine. And the descending triangle is the divine's response to this aspiration. Sat, Chit, Ananda. And this is a perfect place where they are just in complete harmony with each other. The aspiration and the response is perfect. Not like I am having aspiration and a little bit trickle of the response. So that is the square. The supramental. That later on I can talk about it. Water is creation, multiplicity, where creation originates. And the lotus is the avatar. That's how the symbol is. So each symbol has a deeper sense. Flute. Krishna's flute is a symbol of call of the divine. That's how it's. If in your meditation or dream you hear the flute, it represents that. Saraswati is using now Vadyantra, Veena Vadini. So it is about the harmonies of life which build perfection. That's how all the, and the learning of various kinds. They flow from her. So that's how the symbols are. A very powerful means of communicating. You can meditate upon a symbol. You can understand its meaning. And so on and so forth.
Like when you say about meditating with a symbol, how do we meditate?
So meditation is a mental process. Meditation means you pick up an object or an idea and you let your thoughts run around you. Meditation is that. Concentration is different. We'll come to that. Most people mistake the two as synonymous. So meditation is, let's say you, let's do right now, let's meditate upon love. So what is love? Each of us has a different idea about it. And you let your thoughts run around love. For example, once with some student I was trying this. So the student ended up with a very wonderful answer ultimately. Sir, there is nothing else but love in this creation. When you look at love as the power that holds creation, love that uplifts everything toward the heights, which brings beauty and joy. So then you see love in a much more wider way than a limited human love. So this is how when you meditate, the secret truth of that begins to reveal itself. Like knowledge, when we use the word knowledge, what normally comes to our mind? I'm just doing some meditations on these ideas, key ideas. What does knowledge mean? Normally?
Knowing.
Knowing means what? How do you know if a person knows or not, doesn't know? Most people will go for degree. Bahut padhe likhe. But padha likha is not knowledge. Okay? So, knowledge actually, if you go to the roots, it means vidya. Vidya is the power of oneness. You know everything, but you know it on the basis of the one reality which has brought them out. Avidya is knowing them, but you don't know the joining link. So everything becomes separate, separate, separate. So in Indian thought, you will see everything originating from some aspect of God. Vishwakarma, the architect, or you have God of beauty, God of love, God of wisdom, and all these gods fuse into the one God. So you have seen everything descend from there. So true knowledge is to know things as the divine knows. So we can use the word also divine knowledge. Vidya, oneness. And the other is avidya. Okay? So it is not about degree. You may have degree but may not have knowledge. Okay? So what is harmony? Big problem.
Balance.
Okay, one definition would be balance. Another?
Harmony.
Yes.
Peace.
Okay. Bring peace. Yes. That's understanding harmony. What is harmony? Normally what do we say in terms of harmony? We use the word adjustment. Harmonically adjust. That's not harmony. Because then one of them is not living that truth. Then both are living that truth and yet they have a perfect, not just balance, because balance is still something static. Balance is one. There is a constant evolving equilibrium. Both are growing together. Maybe in different directions and yet there is a harmony. Perfect understanding. Even complementarity. All this will go into harmony. It's the most complex thing actually. Most difficult to achieve. So when you meditate, let us say upon God as harmony, So all these shades of meaning will begin to appear after some time. From the surface meaning, deeper and deeper, till you will touch the bedrock of harmony. And what is the best example of harmony? Nature, before man has gone in. Anywhere you go, anywhere. Is it sameness? Normally we say, harmonize karne ke liye have to be sameness. Everybody must dress the same way, talk the same way, then there will be harmony. Then it's not harmony. It is uniformity. That's not harmony. Uniformity has its role in military, okay, fine. But harmony is very complex. If you see nature, before human beings go, you will see everything diverse and different, and yet there is a kind of something which you can't describe, and that's why it has the sense of beauty. It carries beauty inside it. And ananda. These three go together. Delight, harmony, beauty. They go together. That's harmony. Very difficult. Most difficult thing to achieve. Okay? And especially for human beings. Nature does it very spontaneously. Nature to chitak ke bhek diya aur harmony aake. Aise karti hai. Maza aata hai. Have you seen? Relating to what I am saying. Going to a jungle and watching how things work, operate. What a balance, delicate, fine, intricate balance. Very difficult to achieve in human nature. So harmony. Harmony is very high up the order of evolution. What is truth? What is truth? All this truth. Okay. Is truth what we see and hear? Phas gaya na? Kehte na? Aankho dekha. Sach hai. If yes, why? If no, why? Give reasons. Arre, eyes are reporting only very little.
Illusion.
And they are reporting only something on the surface. They are not reporting anything happening inside. They don't know the totality. So the senses cannot tell you truth. Okay. Is it in the heart, in feelings? Why? You have to say why. You can't just... I mean, you are right.
Feelings are also...
changing.
Yeah.
It is hardly true. Morning mein, oh, I love this man. Then I hate this person. Where is truth in it? Ever changing. What about thoughts?
They are also conditioned.
So basically we can say that there is a truth which is temporary or temporal. But that's not what we are searching for. We are searching, is there really a stable basis of truth? So you, one starts in search for truth that, well, it's not found in the senses, it's not found in feelings, it's not found in thought. So basically, where is truth? Because all these things are always changing. Their whole thing in nature is changing all the time. So that's how people drew two conclusions. One was Buddha. He ended up by saying that there is nothing, but he used the word permanent. But there has to be some basis. Nature is expanding, moving. Something is there which we don't know. And the rishis use the word Brahma, which is a very significant word, very beautiful word. So one is that at the level of nature, because it is always changing, therefore you cannot find an abiding truth in it. If you want to have a quest for truth, come out of this circle, if at all. You can. So Buddha showed a way, you can. There are others who show a way, coming out. Then you know the truth. But that's not enough. You need to know the how this truth relates with this ever-changing world. Is there a relation or not? That's important. No, in everyday life. You can't say, okay, I'll sit in meditation and discover what truth is that. So we read first sloka of the Ishapnishad that day. Now we will take up another sloka. So what was the first sloka? Isha Vasyam Midam Sarvam Yatkinchi Jagatyam Jagata. That which is moving and therefore changing. there is a indwelling master, lord. Ish means lord. We don't experience him because we hold on to the movement. Oh, this is mine. But everything is moving. What is yours today may not be yours tomorrow. See, all problem comes from that, no? Mera sundar sapna toot gaya, main prem mein sab kuch haar gayi, bedard chala gaya, ji diya, sunayega na, bahut purana. So if you, we hold on, we cling to what by its nature is ever changing. Even if two people stay together, I am not saying this to dishearten you, because there is true love, based on truth. But generally, even if you stay together, a marriage which is like, we shall not part unto death, but we will fight unto the grave. Isn't that true? Of almost, why almost? Every marriage. Why this happens? So, because it is changed. It was not like in the beginning, first year, 2 years, honeymoon phase, everything is wonderful, slowly, slowly. Now they are staying together, that's different. But inwardly they are parted. So then there is pain, suffering. See, there are so many implications. So the only basis, let us say, from the very first, we are still with the first version, is if you make the divine the center of your marriage or togetherness, then there is a chance that you will have a stable basis behind your ever-changing ups and downs. Both of you will be joined in. Now, making divine the center is not about religious marriage. If you have the same aspiration and you come together, then it endures the rub and change of time. I have seen this and this is very true. Anyway, that's the first. Now, what about truth as the stable basis which we can't define, can't describe? Because the moment you define or describe, you will end up exhausting so many negatives. Because everything is changing. Say something which is not changing. It will be very difficult to define truth if you take it that it is the stable basis. That which is unchanging, akshara, akshara, achyutam, achyutam keshvam, sunaga. It means that which is unfallen. So there is the base. One thing we can know, intellectually there must be a basis. What is universe expanding into? I mean, intellectually you can understand. Kuch to hai. If you say space, that will be very childish. Because space itself is because, is there a limit to space? No. Normally you say space is limited by the movement of the stars, but the stars themselves are expanding into what? So you will end up, if you meditate upon space and time and their endlessness, you will enter into a state which is not subject to space and time. But you can't define or describe it. The moment you put a term to it, it will immediately you are limiting it. So they preferred to use the word neti neti. What is neti neti? Not this, not this. But that doesn't satisfy. Na, ye kya hoga? It doesn't make sense. So there is another word also, iti iti. It is everywhere in everything. This too is truth, this too is truth, this too is truth, this too is truth, this too is truth. All this is truth. But again, we come back to the original question, what is the connecting link? So some people use the word, we don't know the connecting link, they use the word maya, maya meaning, dump it into a term, you know, where you say chance, like chance, you say maya. But what does maya mean? Maya means the power to measure out. So truth is infinite, meaning thereby you cannot limit it in any way. Maya limits it. For example, the divine is, let's say, strength as well as love, tender love. But when you limit it, you say, okay, an aspect of the divine is love, an aspect of the divine is strength. Now you have started limiting. That is the power of Maya. Maya comes from matra, mata. All this basically means limiting. To ha himlata. Maya. So in Maya, operations of Maya, there are two aspects of Maya. One is like, we are all sitting in the class and let's say one Miss Maya comes in, like I come in. I say, look here, you have to work there, you have to work there, you have to work there. So all of you know that you are from the same class, in the same batch, and each of you will go. So right now you are aware of each one's fieldwork and everything. Now when you go, let's say she has to go in one department, he has to go, and over a period of time, she forgets ki wo kaun tha, uska department kya tha, because she is so involved now in that work. So that becomes avidya. So vidya is when you are aware of the oneness of things, and yet you know the differences. Avidya is when you completely forget that oneness and you are totally identified with the form and outer structure. Can you give some practical example? All religious fights are like that. If you recover the oneness, are you, kya fight hai? Why this kola will? You forget it, then you are in avidya. Okay? So vidya, avidya. So once you understand this, then comes each element of avidya, which appears as avidya, is supported by some truth of vidya. It has practical implications. I'll come to that. But first, a line from verse from the Isha Upanishad. It says, it first starts with vidya and avidya. Let me take out, so you have the full correct words from the Isha Upanishad, a series of verses. अंधम तमः प्रविशन्ति ये अविद्याम् उपासते ततो भूय इव ते तमोय विद्यायां रता. So says that those who are only following after ignorance, avidya, who are only in their little life, as today's language will say, छोटी सी जिंदगी, छोटा सा identity, उसमें उलझे हुए, they are in a darkness, blind darkness. They into a greater darkness who devote themselves to vidya alone. What is that vidya? There is no difference, nothing, sab ek hai, sab ek kehlata hai. Understand now? Implications you understand. All is one, everything is same. What will serpent do to me? I am God, serpent is God. What will elephant do? There is a story, no? Mahavad Brahman. Somebody went to, came out learning that vidya, vidya, all is God. So he went out and he saw the elephant coming. He thought to himself, should I run away? He said, no, elephant is Brahman, I am Brahman. What can Brahman do to Brahman? So Mahavat saw him coming dangerously close. He said, go aside. He said, no, no, you don't know. You are ignorant fool. I know, I have learnt a lesson. All this is Brahman. So Mahavat said, fool, you will get crushed. Get away. He said, no, no, no. You are ignorant. My Guruji has taught me. And so the elephant, what does he do? He throws him aside. He gets broken all over and then he says, what is this you taught me, Guruji? All is Brahman. This is the result. He says, why didn't you listen to the Mahavat Brahman? Who was telling you to move aside. So, vidya is the oneness which is behind everything. It means don't hate. Don't be angry. Don't. But avidya, the play of multiplicity, you have to live by your own truth. Swadharma comes there. Arjun may have no hate against Karna, but when he is in combat with Karna, Shri Krishna tells him, pick up the divya astra and fire. He deserves the divya astra. He says, no, 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 I don't want to do it. He has forgotten the mantra for his own. He was trying to fire, but he forgot the mantra. He also knew Brahmas, but he's forgotten the mantra because there was a curse. So Shri Krishna says, you fire. He says, no, 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 he is without arrow. He says, don't be the fool. He doesn't tell the story of Mahavat Brahman. He says, fire. But use the Divyastra. Only once Arjuna has used Divyastra. Though he had all of them. And that was Anjali Astra for Karna. Because when you use Divyastra, then the person is liberated straight away. That's how the understanding of that. You don't go into the normal process of death, but you are taken up by the divine entities which are behind the Vyastra. So, vidya alone, all is one? No. Avidya alone, everything is different? No. So he says, vidyancha avidyancha yasta dvedo vayam saha. Avidyaya mrityum tirtva vidyaya amritam mashnute. He who knows that as both in one, there is a divine reality which is unchanging here in all appearances. And there is an ever-changing world with which we have to deal with. He says, he who knows that as both in one, the knowledge and the ignorance, by the ignorance crosses beyond death. Because he understands all the ways and processes and mechanisms of this creation and all the varieties. And by the knowledge enjoys immortality. So this is how, in an ideal state, you need to know both the knowledge and the ignorance. The snake does not know that if it bites, it will kill. It's complete avidya. That's how it is. It doesn't understand that if it kills, let's say, a child or a grown-up man, it's entire. That's why karmic law doesn't apply on animals. He doesn't know. He is sometimes maybe self-defense, sometimes fear, sometimes aggression. But human beings know. So while they have to remove the snake away or go sidetrack, if totally confronted, helpless, it has to probably do a tie. Rare situations. Very rare. But in any case, it is not supposed to hate the snake. Get angry on the snake. It's silly. So you understand the difference in practical life? That is exactly the teaching of the Gita. He tried all the means to so that war doesn't take place. But now war takes place. Now you can't say, oh, it doesn't matter, they are my brothers, I'll go to take sannyas. Now you have to fight. But when you fight, again he says, don't hate. Don't carry the idea of violence that I am going to kill him brutally. And Bhima doesn't listen. He is not a recipient of the Gita. But Arjun listens. He understands. So even in the war, he tries to join the two. It's only at Krishna's command he does what he does. So that is Vidya and Avidya. Multiplicity in the world and the knowledge which is behind it. Both we must know. But what was the question? What is the question? You remember the original question?
You also don't remember.
So meditation is object of meditation. So meditation is when you pick up a, so this distinction is important, because when you pick up a object, you have an object of meditation. The mind thought runs all around it. So initially the mind dwells in avidya. It's like writing an essay on cow. So you write everything outward. Then what do you discover? There is nothing sacrosanct or anything about the cow. Then you go deeper. Cow is a symbol. Cow is a giver of plenty. Then you go still deeper. Then you discover the reason why cow is considered sacred. So you go deep into anything, you will touch God. Actually into anything. Even into snake, you will enter into vidya. So there is the avidya, there is the vidya. You will enter into the deepest truth, which is the truth of vidya, the truth of the divine in that person. And there is great implications, practical implications. Supposing you have a very naughty child. Normally, if you observe carefully, you will notice probably some seeds of the kshatriya in the child. So what do? You train. You don't say you are a bad boy, disturbing the whole class. Maybe he is creative. His knowledge part is also maybe strong, developing in different directions. He looks at the same thing in a very different way. It has many practical implications. All this, sabhava, sadharma, vidya, vidya. It's not just, this is a principle. But that principle you have to apply. So, when you meditate upon any object, even a stone, that's how it is said. So, one is an object, second is you meditate upon an idea. So you let the idea, thoughts run around the idea. Like we talked about love. Love is the power that binds creation. That's understood. Power of attraction. You understand, no? Meaning of the name Krishna. What is the meaning?
Mystery in the darkness.
No. That is one part. Krishna Paksha and Shukita. But Krishna originally, it means the power of attraction. Akarshan. Akarshan, Vikarshan comes from that. the power that attracts all creatures, all beings. That's how Krishna is actually portrayed. So Krishna is that power. So when you meditate upon the, even the name, you can meditate upon the name, you can meditate upon the image, you can meditate upon mantra. And slowly the truth that is contained inside begins to appear. So this is one way you arrive at truth. You pick up anything, at the end you will reach that point. Anything. Exercise. Anything. Sea, ocean, sand, everything.
Like for example, I'm getting confused with meditation and concentration, you said that. So mainly what I do is that, for example, I'll just see something. So in the samadhi, so there's a tree. So in that tree, there's some white portions there. Mm. So I try to concentrate on that. But when I try to concentrate on that, a lot of thoughts.
So that is the next part. We have only talked about the principle. Now there would be challenges and other things because the mind by nature is distracted, all that is later. But to begin with, in principle it is correct. You pick up any object and you start, let your thoughts run. That's why meditation is a process of the mind. You don't concentrate only on it. You let your thoughts run around it. So these thoughts will it's easier because it's natural to us. We think about something. But concentration is more difficult. And concentration, you can just pick up an object, let your mind be focused on that. So meditation is mind running around the object, and concentration is straight away penetrating into its depth. It could be internal on certain centers, or it could be external on an object. It will yield its divine truth, because divine is everywhere in everything. But again, certain objects are easier to concentrate, and like you can discover the divine even in a criminal. But it's much easier to discover in a genuine saint, not any kind. So that way, there are certain objects which yield their divine element very easily. Whereas there are other objects which also carry the divine, and you can find. But it's more difficult. Even certain places where it's easy. Basically, all these processes are to discover that truth, the divine truth which is inside us, or the divine being, whatever way you want to put it, divine consciousness. Is the divine being or... What is your idea?
I don't think it's being extra conscious, expanding consciousness.
Okay.
Shayad, aapne bataya tha ki
logically,
it is
Sat Chit Ananda. So there is existence. There is an existence which may use the word divine. It is divine because it's the origin, everything has come from that. I will build the logical bridges if required, but right now we are just taking a framework. It's existence. But it is also consciousness. What does it mean? If that is the origin of all consciousness, all things are conscious because of that consciousness. So, is it conscious of itself or not? By logic.
It is.
It is. What is being by definition? Being is not about hands and feet. The moment I am conscious that I exist, so being comes from that. It is a being by its nature. And because it is a being, everybody can discover their own truth as a being, which is part of that being.
How do we know that knows that it exists?
So, right now we have only talked about logic. Logically, we can accept the premise that, well, if by all consciousness must have some origin, isn't it? Some origin. Anything. Let's say you are partially conscious, the animal is little less conscious, some human beings are more conscious in different ways. So this consciousness must have some origin. That origin is called the superconscious. If you take the material view, it is just emerging somehow. If you take the spiritual view, it is from top down, which makes logical sense. That, well, consciousness, there is an original consciousness which enters into matter or less than that, inconscient, and emerges from there. So we are midway, half conscious. And through certain practices, we can become more and more conscious. Till we can become one with the superconscious. So what is consciousness within us? is the power of, what does consciousness do primarily? Power of
knowing.
We use the word awareness. And with that power of knowing, what else it is capable of? When you know about something, the next is
act upon it.
So it is knowledge and will, or knowledge and power together. That is consciousness by definition. We have a limited consciousness, therefore we are aware of limited things. We can expand this consciousness, become aware of many more things. Similarly, as we expand the consciousness, even the power increases. Okay? They go together, hand in hand. A scientist understands that in a little grain of dust, there is a silicon chip. Because as you grow in knowledge, the power also increases. Okay? So, now imagine to where it can go. It can go ultimately to all consciousness. All consciousness is a state in which this whole consciousness originates. So if this is a logic that consciousness makes us aware, so is that original consciousness aware of itself or not? Logically, what does the mind say? That is existence. What is existence? It's being aware that I exist. Consciousness makes us aware in a limited way that I exist. Maybe in an egoistic way. It can also make us aware of the one existence within me. It can make us aware of the one existent in all. So, consciousness, that origin, is aware of itself. Therefore, it is a being by definition. But having said that, that's an intellectual framework, which is quite logical, correct. So what is the next level you intellectually can describe, but it may or may not be so. Sir, koi foolproof method bataiye. Foolproof method kya hai? Bolo. Kya hoga? Foolproof method. Would there be or no? If it is not there, then we have to discard it as a possibility. Our ancient India, they didn't stop with thinking about it only. When you say intellectually possible, well, then what it becomes, but you can't experience or realize it, then it becomes a belief system. What is it called? A belief system? Religion. What we have in India? Yoga. What is yoga? You can become one with that reality. Is it logically possible?
There are steps and people have.
That is different. But just logically, is it possible for human consciousness to become one with the divine consciousness? A very simple question. Pure logic. If everything carries something of that within it, then logically there should be a way it can become. Whether we know it or not, we don't know. It's like if everything is composed of atoms. There should be a logical way that you can disintegrate and take out the atoms or the electrons. Which is what a scientist actually does. Actually, you can create a nuclear reaction with any atom. But only plutonium and uranium, they are much more easily. That's all. You can do it with an iron also. Because the principle is the same. But it's very difficult. It will require a huge this thing. So same way, because we carry within us. Same with cloning. Because in its origin, there is one cell. Okay, the differentiation takes place later. Same way, since we carry something of that consciousness and existence within us, is there a way that I can become one with it? The moment you say that, you have entered into spirituality. If you say, no, there is no way, you have to believe, then you are forming a religion. You understand now the difference between Indian spiritual thought and the Semitic spiritual thought. Do you understand which is more logical? So then they said, okay, logically I can become one, but how? So they use this power of concentration and meditation. Because what you concentrate upon, you tend to become. So they use this power. So what did they keep on concentrating upon? Say a mantra like, Aham Brahmasmi, Aham Brahmasmi, Tattvamasi. But there is a problem with this. What is the problem? You may mistake the limited self as yourself. You may say, Aham Brahmasmi means this little ego. I am the fellow. So, what is the other way? Safer way? Delightful way? Krishna, 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 Krishna. Hey Govinda, hey Gopal. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vasudevam Sarvam Miti Yatkincha Jagatyam Jagat. So, it will take you to a point where you join Vasudeva. But till that point, you are safe. Because you know this limited is not me. It is Vasudeva who dwells in all, including me. So, you meditate upon Vasudeva, the indwelling, the divine entity. And a time will come when you will begin to become one with Vasudeva. So, it's a safer method. That's why Sri Krishna says, Bhakti is safer and more complete. Whereas if you take purely the path of Jnana, there is a big problem. Understand the difference. So, the highest object of meditation is all is the divine is in all. All is the divine. And if you meditate upon it steadily, every day, then one day its truth will begin to reveal itself before you. What will happen after that? Sabse pehle, judge karna band ho jaye. You will act, but you don't need to judge. Whom will you judge? You will sit as a judge and judge the divine movement. Perfect understanding idea. Because you will understand that in each one, divine is playing, revealing in different ways. Quarrel, competition, hate, all will vanish. Will you feel angry? The divine within you will feel angry with the divine in that person? No. You understand. When you fight, you won't fight, oh, fight to finish. You will fight as, okay, let's play the game of fight, fight. You see, these things come in Ramayana. Even in Mahabharata. Arjun said, let's play. Because it's a play at the end of the day. But a play in which you can't be lax. You will act according to the divine impulsion in you with your perfection. That person has to do the same with you. Did it make life a little more beautiful? That's what we were reading yesterday. One day it will become so. Because of that divine presence inside, is pushing everything in that direction. Whatever resists will be absorbed back. We may use the word destruction, but divine doesn't use the word destruction. It will be absorbed back. We don't have to worry about it. Okay.
There is one.
Yes.
So I was with a spiritual mentor way back 2019. So I asked her, how do I merge divine? Then she told me, you should stop questioning. If you stop questioning, then only you will learn more divine. Is that true?
No, it's not true, but it has a meaning. It's not like a totally. See, there are two kinds of questioning. One is questioning for the sake of questioning, doubting for the sake of doubt, and that takes the mind into a very discursive activity. That's true. Why this? Why this? For example, if I ask the question, what is the origin of Satchidananda? I have an answer to it. I have asked these questions. Bhagavan kahan se aaye? What is the origin of the divine? So, you know, if you ask this question. So, basically in spiritual life, what is said is that there is a point of questioning, a limit of questioning, and there is a limit where questioning stops and experience begins. Though you can logically answer, if you want to know something, it will come to you. That power is there within us. For example, what is the origin of Satchidananda? So how do they explain? It is infinite. So infinite cannot, you cannot say it as a beginning or an end or a birth. Very simple answer, very direct answer. And makes perfect sense. But for the, that's what where Vidya comes in. So Upanishads give this answer. Beyond it, there will be no question. There will be experience. Also, it is true that if the questioning mind is very active, then the real experience doesn't come because the mind is constantly analyzing everything. Did I feel peace? Was it peace? Was it something else? So in that sense, there is a truth in this saying that don't question. But equally, it's not an absolute rule. There is something called as quest from which question comes. So one is questioning for the sake of questioning. A very discursive mind is picking up everything and questioning. That does tend to interfere. But there is another quest where one wants to know. Quest is very good, healthy. It opens the door, because otherwise you may enter into another kind of belief. That's it. So it looks at both ways depending on the path that one is on. Question, as a seeker, any question one should be able to ask. But questioning and doubting for the sake of just, you know, jabardasti, like, you know, that becomes a problem. Then you have to say first, quieten the mind. Okay?